Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit, where we help you help yourself with your health. Our topic today is probiotics for more than digestion. Our guest today is Dr. Ludovic Brunel. Dr. Brunel has over 15 years' experience as a naturopathic doctor. He studied human nutrition at McGill University in Montreal and continued his education at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. Good morning, Doctor, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be here today.
Because we're talking about probiotics being more than just digestion, can we start, Doctor, with your explanation of what is the gut microbiome?
So the gut microbiome is the totality and the diversity of the bacteria in our gut. We're looking at the bacteria and the different organisms that naturally live in our bowels.
Are we born with that, Doctor?
That's a great question. We are basically born with a gut that's fairly sterile. We don't have a lot of bacteria when we're first born. The child's exposed or the infant's exposed to bacteria in the vagina during delivery. And so that starts to colonize the microbiome. And then with food, especially with the milk, promotes more colonization and more diversity of the microflora. And that changes as we age. And they usually say that it changes quite a bit until we reach the age of about 3. And then with the introduction of solid food, more fiber, the bacteria or the microbiome becomes more stable.
And how does it change with age? Like, I know you just said about changing to solid food, but what about going through our teens and our midlife and old age? Any changes going on there as well?
Yeah, it's constantly changing. And of course, it responds a lot to diet. So for example, if there's more fiber, usually it helps promote healthier bacteria. When there's more sugar, it can increase things that we don't want in there that are more likely to promote more inflammation. As we age, of course, one of the things that happens is the amount of fiber in the diet will often decrease with age. And so there can be some changes. Usually in younger children, the bifidobacteria is going to be more common. And that has to do partly with the diet being primarily made of milk, that promotes the bifidobacteria.
There's a lot of conversation about probiotics and microbiome and a healthy gut. Like what is the importance of a healthy gut?
Yeah, so having a healthy gut flora is so important. Its primary role, of course, is that it acts in terms of digestion. It helps us get more out of our food. It also helps in terms of the immune system. And there's more and more research there that shows that probiotics could really decrease the incidence of autoimmune problems. There are bacteria that don't invade the body, but basically they give practice to the immune system, and they help to make sure that the immune system develops normally and is proficient at differentiating what we call self from non-self. They can also help to balance our weight. They can really help with blood sugar. Different bacteria can also help with the maintenance of healthy cholesterol levels. And so there's all kinds of benefits for overall health when it comes to getting that healthy bacteria that helps to support our health. And some researchers have even said that it should be something that's included in our food guide. We should promote the use of more healthy bacteria, both from food, but potentially from supplements as well.
A good healthy bacteria would be probiotics. So there's both good and bad bacterias, aren't there?
Correct. A classic example would be E. coli, and so it's a normal inhabitant of our gut, but there's types of E. coli that can be very dangerous for our health, and often E. coli is responsible for urinary tract infections as well. There's infections that are common in hospitals. A classic example there would be C. diff, and it can have devastating impacts on the gut. It causes bloody diarrhea, a lot of inflammation, and it can be deadly. And so, you know, making sure that our gut flora is healthy and acts as a first line of defense from invading organisms is going to be beneficial for most of us.
So probiotics can be helpful at every age.
Absolutely. Definitely. I think in terms of younger children, in terms of developing a healthy immune system, really, really important. So preventing things like autoimmune disease, which is increasing dramatically in the developed world. We're having more and more problems with the immune system from a lack of exposure to bacteria, and the immune system just doesn't develop normally. It helps us digest food properly. It helps to decrease inflammation in the gut. It helps prevent invasion from more dangerous bacteria that can cause things like diarrhea. It decreases the problems associated with IBS, and we have one of the highest rates of IBS in the world in Canada. 18% of the adult population suffers from IBS, almost one in five. And there's great research showing that probiotics can help in terms of the bloating, the diarrhea, the constipation that are the hallmarks of that problem. IBS is actually a disturbance in the gut microflora. It's the anatomy, the physiology is working well, but there's unhealthy bacteria that causes those symptoms, primarily bloating.
So this good bacteria, they are living organisms. If we consume them in our foods or in a capsule, how do they survive the stomach acid? Because that's a pretty powerful chemical in the stomach.
For sure. The acidity in the stomach is very, very high. The stomach produces a ton of mucus just to protect itself from being digested or destroyed or damaged by that acid. As I mentioned earlier, when we're young, there's no bacteria yet in our gut. And another thing that's important to know is there's not stomach acid yet, or very little. And so that's why when we're very young, infants will be able to have more bacteria go into their gastrointestinal system, the intestines, because of that. As we get older, that acid becomes a problem for the survival of the bacteria. It's one of our primary defenses against getting infections from things that we eat. Of course, in the case of probiotics, there's no risk of infection because they don't invade the body. They stay in the intestinal tract, and we want them to survive. And so it's important to take steps to make sure that the probiotics or the bacteria can survive. So in terms of supplementation, enteric coating, so a coating that resists and does not dissolve in the acid of the stomach, is ideal. It ensures that more of the bacteria will survive. Other strategies can help. So, for example, if some patients cannot use a capsule, and often children won't be able to swallow capsules until later on, and they're using a powder, then we want to take that with food. That helps to buffer, decrease the acidity in the stomach, and that helps to increase, again, the amount of those living organisms that are going to survive through the stomach acid.
So it's this enteric coating that is around the capsule that protects the living organisms from the stomach acid. So then, doctor, if it gets through the stomach acid, how does it exit the capsule later on to be beneficial?
So typically the enteric coating is designed to dissolve at a specific pH or acidity or alkalinity level. And I'll often recommend New Roots probiotics because they have this enteric coating. Their enteric coating is designed to dissolve at a pH of 5. So very acidic environments have a low pH. The stomach has a pH of 1 or 2. But then once the food, and in this case, the enterically coated probiotic, is released into small bowel, there's pancreatic juices that enter the small intestine and buffers or decreases that acidity and increases the acidity significantly to typically a level of around 7, which is neutral. And then the capsule will dissolve as soon as the pH is above 5. Those living organisms survive the acidity, and then the capsule dissolves once the acidity has been neutralized by those pancreatic juices, and then the probiotic or those bacteria can survive.
So then it can go to work in the small intestine, in the large intestine, and just do its job as it goes through the GI tract.
Exactly. That's where, you know, a lot of the fermentation occurs, and that's where those bacteria are beneficial. Most of those bacteria produce acid, and they lower the acidity, or they increase, sorry, the acidity in the intestines, which prevents the colonization of harmful bacteria, gram-negative bacteria, things like E. coli or things that cause infectious diarrhea. A good example would be cholera.
Now, some of our customers will come in, they'll say, well, I eat a yogurt or eat some kimchi now and again. And somebody else will say that they make their own kombucha. How does that compare to a capsule with 10 billion cells of probiotic?
In the case of yogurt, for example, a lot of that will contain a lot of sugar, and added sugar not only is not good for the gut, but it's also not good for health, and it's one of the major problems with the Canadian diet. There's a lot of added sugar. Another problem, of course, is that some other foods that are fermented will be pasteurized. Think of pickles, for example. There's basically nothing left in that. If it's not kept in the fridge, there's no active or living bacteria. Others can be very high in salt. That's something else to watch out for. I often tell people, absolutely, eat fermented foods as much as you can. There's lots of research on probiotics, lots of research on the benefits of using probiotic supplements. And it's one of the things that I think for most of us makes a lot of sense to use.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that one in five Canadians approximately have IBS. So what causes harm to our microbiome and our gut health?
Diet is one of the main things. And as I was mentioning earlier, if you have a high sugar diet, it promotes the development of unhealthy bacteria. That can be a major problem. Lack of fiber is another major problem for Canadians. The recommendation is at least 25 grams per day for women, and about 38 grams per day for men. And we're getting 14 grams on average, so about half of what we should be getting, and actually less than that for men. So that's a major problem. The fiber from the food helps to promote the fermentation of healthy gut bacteria. And because we don't have enough of that, it's very harmful. The other problem, of course, is the use of antibiotics. And antibiotics, of course, life-saving, right? I'm not going to question the benefits of antibiotics when it comes to treating infections that can be life-threatening, but not only do they kill the harmful bacteria, they also kill the healthy bacteria in our gut, and that can lead to antibiotic-associated diarrhea, which is very common. Other problems include stress, change in diet, like think of traveler's diarrhea. You go somewhere, your diet changes, the amount of fiber changes, they may be more or less of different food components, and then you end up having issues. So all those things can affect the microbiome significantly.
So what are some symptoms of an unhealthy microbiome?
You know, the key ones obviously are going to be gastrointestinal symptoms, things like bloating, diarrhea, constipation, and all of those are actually very common. But then I think there can be long-term, more significant problems with the immune system, not only in terms of infection, things like urinary tract infections, but also autoimmune disorders. And that's where I think probiotics are really, really important, because that is becoming a more common problem for Canadians. Having a healthy flora will also help prevent things like diabetes, heart disease, and they'll help us maintain a healthy weight. So very, very significant benefits, and specifically for conditions that are very, very common in Canadians.
Can probiotics restore an unhealthy gut?
You know, by using more of those healthy bacteria, we can outcompete some of the more harmful bacteria that are going to cause more health issues. Probiotics have been clearly shown to be one of the most effective, if not the most effective, treatment available for those patients.
Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, let's talk more about the benefits of probiotics.